those of you that have children with you, I'm not going to talk for 30 minutes. I promise. If I go 10, it'll be long, all right? So we'll keep it real brief. In Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1 is the story that we would just kind of experience through our children, the story of the birth and the coming of Christ to our planet. And, you know, I was just thinking this week about that story and about what happened in the story and the little moments that took place that we read about every Christmas and we breeze over, but we don't really capture in the true sense of the word. And one of those little stories is the story of Mary. And in Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. If you just want to sit with your kids, just sit and listen, because I'm not going to read much. So it's fine just to listen. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, listen to what this says. Just listen with me for a second. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Nazareth, by the way, was a dumpy little town in Galilee, not a town you really want to be from. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin was named, or his name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. All right, so let's talk about that for a second. You've got Mary. She's a teenager. She's hanging out in Nazareth, a little town in the middle of the desert in Galilee, and it's a dumpy town, wrong side of the tracks. It's a small town, and there's just a few people that live there, so it's one of those towns, you know, it's like a small church. You know, everyone talks. Everyone knows. I mean, it's just the way it is, right? So Mary lives in this little town, and she's a teenage girl, and an angel, not just any angel, mind you, the angel Gabriel, who is mentioned in Scripture as one of the great angels, comes to Mary and says to her, "Listen, you are going to have a child." Now, you have to understand the background for a minute here, okay? Because in the nation of Israel, which is what Mary would have been a part of, there's been a stretch of time that has taken place where God has been absolutely silent, all right? God started, remember, way back in Genesis, he started building the human nation, and then at the Tower of Babel, they all get split apart into nations, so God picks a nation out for himself called the Israelites, and he, for hundreds of years, works with the Israelites, showing us what it's like to have God as your Savior. What it's like to have the blessing of God on your life. And the rest of the world can look in on the nation of Israel and go, wow. And God uses the nation of Israel to show his principles in terms of the principle basically boiling down to, if you follow Christ, it leads to life and freedom. And if you follow your own way, it leads to death and destruction. And he plays that principle out, okay? Then, through that time, we have prophets that God speaks directly through to the nation of Israel. And you've got the books of the law that he gives Moses, and then the books of history, things like Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings and Samuel. And then you have the books of the prophets. And they have all of these books. And then, from the last point in the Old Testament to this moment when the angel Gabriel shows up at Mary, there is a 400-year span of time where God is absolutely silent. And you know what happens during this 400 years? This is what happens. The religious institution that God set up in the Jewish nation does exactly what every single religious institution does when left to itself. It just becomes more and more law law-based and more about all the little things that you have to do, and so eventually becomes a corrupt system. So we are standing now in a place 400 years after God has said a word to humanity, other than what he's given them. Mary is standing there. The nation of Israel is under the Roman Empire, where they've kind of just been kind of captured under this Roman Empire. And so I say all this to say this. Somebody like Mary, who was Jewish, who would have known God's word, and somebody like Joseph and the little town of Nazareth, the people there that followed God, would have been spending their time at this time longing for a Savior, just waiting and waiting and waiting for a Savior to come, because God promised that at some point a Savior was going to come. Now imagine in that context, Mary standing in the field, and she's busy doing her normal stuff, and an angel shows up, and the angel tells her, here's the deal, Mary. You are going to have a child that the Holy Spirit is going to conceive in you. And that child is going to grow up, and God is going to give him the throne of David, and his throne will last forever, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. For Mary, in that moment, it would have been a combination of the wonder and the scary nature of realizing that God was going to use her to basically conceive and become flesh, but also in the back of her mind would have been this inkling, this moment where she would have gone, wait a second, that sounds just like the Savior that's been promised. That's what it sounds like, is that I am going to conceive a baby that is going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the entire planet. And I can't even begin to imagine, after the angel left, what must have been going through Mary's mind. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine it. And then you have Joseph, on the other hand, who finds out that Mary's pregnant, and he's betrothed to her, and he's going, oh my gosh, what do I do with this? Because there's a year period where you're betrothed to another person, where basically you get to know each other, and there's no physical stuff that goes on. So during that time, you're married, but you're just waiting to kind of spend time together. And here Mary ends up pregnant, which obviously the conclusion is simple, right? And then an angel shows up to Joseph and says, hey, bro, listen. He didn't say it quite that way, but that's how I would have said it. He says, listen, don't worry about it. Your wife has a child in her that has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. What she tells you is true. Now don't be afraid anymore. Can you imagine for Joseph, who came from the line of David, who would have known the scriptures, realizing that he has been handpicked to be the father of the child that's going to be born, that's going to become the Messiah to the world. And then these two travel to Bethlehem, because there is a census that takes place, and the Caesar says, hey, listen, I want everyone to go back to their hometown to have the census take place. So he travels through the desert with Mary. She's pregnant at this point, pregnant enough that it's toward the end, travels with her, gets to Jerusalem through to Bethlehem, and they get to Bethlehem. And on that night in Bethlehem, as they arrive there, Bethlehem is jam-packed with people. Why? Because there's a census going on and everyone's there. And then what happens? We find out that Mary is giving birth. And can you imagine? I mean, can you even imagine that night? I mean, all of this that they've gone through, the angels have showed up, they've told them this, and there's Joseph, and he's got Mary, and she's going into labor. I am 1 week away from having my wife give birth to a child. Now, it might be right now, that might have been her leaving because she's having labor pains. I don't know, but we're really, really close. You know, this will be number four. So we've been through the labor process. And as those of you that have know, that is not the kind of thing where you're like, oh, this is so cute. I'm in labor. That's great. I mean, this is, you know, especially for a new husband, because I remember the first time it happened to my wife. I mean, you don't know what to do. You know, your wife is screaming, and you're looking at her, and you want to fix it, because that's what us guys do. We fix everything. And you're looking going, how do I fix this? And she's just screaming, and she's in pain, and should you be in pain? I mean, do you hit your head against the wall to say, I'm with you in this. I'm with you in this. So here it is. And you know, it's that panic moment. So we rush, we jump in the car. You know how it goes, flying down the highway to get to the hospital. Well, imagine Joseph and Mary. Joseph goes into labor, and all Joseph wants to do is find a place for his wife so she can lay down and have the baby. As it is, they are so far away from their family and their parents and their home. That's Nazareth. That's where everyone comes around you and supports you. They're alone, just the two of them. And he's running through the streets going, come on, somebody, open the door, somebody. You don't understand. I'm not like, hello, can we get a nice place to sleep? My wife is in labor. She's going to have a baby. And some guy goes, you know, I could stick you in the barn over there. And, you know, at this point, it's, you know, it's that obvious time where you're like, there's no other options. We're not going to have the baby in the street. So they go into a little barn. And in that little barn, Mary gives birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you know what we find out? We find out just a little, just around 2,000 years later, as we sit here in this building, we find out that as Joseph was running in a panic trying to find a place, that God's intent the entire time was for Jesus to be born in a place just like this, so that we can know from the very beginning that this God that created us, that made us, and that wants us to have freedom and life came to this planet to be with us. He didn't come to be some great king that we can't approach. He came to be like us, to be simple, to serve and to love and to care. And he continues to do that today. Today he's still doing that. So here's the deal. This is where it's getting it. And by the way, I'm done now. So I've got about another minute and a half, and then you guys can all chill, okay? So here's the deal. This is what it all comes down to for me, all right? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up, and it's going to be Christmas Day, all right? Tonight, probably Kmart's open till late. So I'm sure that there's going to be those of us that are shooting from here straight to Super Target because you've got those last few things you got to take care of. Then you're going to be preparing food and meals and stuff, most of you, because it's Christmas Day. That's what you do, right? And then you're going to, the presents under the tree, you got to open those and it's going to be great and it's going to be fun and everyone's going to have a blast and the kids are going to go crazy. And then you've got, you know, the normal stuff you got to do on Christmas. You're running around back and forth. There's people in your house. There's family. You're entertaining. And if you're going to entertain, you got to keep everything on the level, right? So somewhere in there, obviously, those of us here at the church, we'll make sure we fit Jesus in. Because after all, it's about Jesus tomorrow, right? So, you know, maybe in the morning we'll say a little quick prayer or we'll do a little something. And then maybe late in the evening before we go to bed, we'll go, wow, that was another neat Christmas. Probably we'll be laying in our beds going, thank God it's over. Here's the deal. Christmas will come and Christmas will go this year like it does every single year. And like a birthday that's way down, you know, when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, it's other than those big special like the 50th and the 60th and the 70th, the rest of them just kind of blend together, you know, like, oh yeah, it's birthday. There you go. And you know what? In some ways, that's kind of like it's become with Christ. And tomorrow's just Christmas. It's another Christmas. That's great. Maybe, you know, in the year through 3,000 will be a big deal. But right now, just another Christmas. And what I want to just challenge you guys, as I challenge my own heart with, is this. That tomorrow morning when you wake up, just like Mary and Joseph would have done, in the panic and the craziness of trying to find a place to have their wife lay down and have a baby, and in the rush and hustle and bustle of Bethlehem, and in the traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, all that stuff, as that took place, I can imagine it must have just been one big rush. But then at the moment that the child was born and they were in a manger, I mean, in a barn with a little manger, and everything got quiet. Right then, can you even begin to imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph to hold the Son of the Most High God in their hands and look at him and go, this is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This. And to stop and to stare. You know, when my new child is born, when he comes out, I already know what it's going to be like because I've been there three times before. Everything in the room stops. You know, the chaos of the nurses and stuff happens, and then you just sit there for hours and stare at the baby. And you're just in awe that this little creature came out of that woman, and it's yours, and you have to take care of it now. And that same amazing sense of wow is the kind of sense that I challenge you and I to find tomorrow. Somewhere, stop and look down into the face of the baby Jesus, if you will, and go, in this manger, in that barn, in the hustle and bustle of our planet, the Messiah came, and he was just as important to them as he is to us. Because without him, we do not have life. We do not have salvation. We do not have reconciliation and relationship with God. But with him, we have all of that. Who would have imagined that Jesus didn't just come to save the Jewish nation from Rome or from a corrupt religious system, but that he came to save all of humanity from their own sin? What an amazing, mysterious, and wonderful thing. Tomorrow, do not miss that, but be in awe of the fact that we celebrate the birth of not a baby, but of the Messiah, the Savior. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you chose just this awesome young couple, Mary and Joseph, to kind of lead the way. Thank you that you settled them down in a barn. And thank you that in that barn, you were born into this planet. And that from that day forth, you began your great work of bringing us back into relationship with you. God, may we just be in awe tomorrow, not of all the craziness and the stuff, but in awe of the fact that you didn't come for two people in a barn or for a nation that we're not a part of, but that you came for all of us and that you hold out in your hands life and freedom. May we be in awe of that tomorrow. Thank you for our children and the wonderful, wonderful treat it was to watch them. Bless them this Christmas as they enjoy the wonders of this season. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
There we go. We're going to have some good times. Here we go. Here we go. All right, help me out now. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Savior reigns.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ.
Fields and
floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy.
I said, repeat. Last verse, he rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his.
Wonders
of